Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Dr. Ava is also a student national spokesperson for the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Now I'm closing on this concept. See, we believe in separation. We believe that integration is a hypocritical trick to make us think that our 400-year-old enemy has all of a sudden become our friend. They'll let you into the bedroom and keep you right at the door of the boardroom. Separation is not a foreign concept. It's what you're doing at this very moment, everywhere you're gone. You're in Iraq now. The British were there before you. They made borders and put people together that were of different ethnicities and tribal backgrounds, knowing that in the future you would turn one against the other for your own purposes. Now you're in Iraq and you're saying that you would like to see Iraq separated into 3 areas. It's one country, it was, but you want the Kurds in the north, the Shia in the south, and the Sunnis in the center. You like separation when it suits your purpose. Now you're in Syria, you want to separate the Syrians. You have the Alawites or the Alawis. You have the Druze, you have the Sunnis, and your intention is to create 2 or 3 states inside Syria. You're not upset over dividing the country up with various ethnicities that have grievances with each other. Separatist movements are active all over the world. In Spain, you have the Basque country, the Valencia, and others wanting to separate. There are such movements in France, Belgium, Scotland, England, Germany, Finland, Denmark, the Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, Cyprus, and Poland, to name a few. The French-speaking people of Quebec in Canada want a state of their own. Yugoslavia was one great nation under Marshal Tito, but as you went into Kosovo and you broke up and separated them, now you have several different nations that once were one. So let's look into the mirror here, right here, right here. Since the re-election of President Obama, there are petitions in support of secession from all 50 states. Active ones in Texas and a few more. All they have to do is raise 25,000 in signatures and the White House is supposed to respond. President Obama has not responded yet, but you're going to have to do something. Yes. The Native American was forced off his land into reservations. And once upon a time, Asians were separated into concentration camps. And today in every major city, various groups have separated themselves in what are called ethnic enclaves. The Polish have their part of town. They own it, they rule it. The Germans have their part. The Jews have theirs. The Mexicans have theirs. You got yours, but you don't own it. You don't control nothing in your community. The schools are running amok. The children running amok. We got something for you gangbangers to do. There's a natural inclination for people to form clans and tribes for their general security and well-being. We see in Africa a tribal system undergirding every nation. People are desiring to be on their own now. In Sudan, you had the Muslims in the north and the jet black brothers and sisters in the south. The oil is in the south, but the oil was going north to the Arabs. The Arab north, even though they're people of color, they see themselves as more Arab than African. So the real black one in the southern part of Sudan, he's catching hell. They fought for 20 years or more because wealth was not distributed properly, justly, fairly. So now you've got northern Sudan, southern Sudan, two different nations. Well, we're having a problem getting along with you. We don't like the way we're being treated. How many of you are happy? You're getting scared now, huh? We'll terrify you into getting straight. But whether you like it or not, you're going to have your own.
The Elevated Places call-in number is 347-324-5091. Or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Places. This is your host, Ava Muhammad, and it is a joy to be back once again with you to join the listeners and also my wonderful colleagues who make Elevated Places possible, my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, our Elevated Places contributor, Dr. Rizwi Muhammad, and, of course, our IT specialist, Sister LaDonna Muhammad, and our program director, Sister Rona Muhammad, out of the Capitol now, Washington, D.C. Also, Brother Bobby Muhammad, whose voice you just heard opening the program. That was, of course, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and that was an excerpt from The Time and What Must Be Done, which just played this past Saturday, August the 17th, bringing to an end the three parts of the replay of his message, An Economic Blueprint, Freedom from Poverty and Want, wherein Minister Farrakhan introduced to those who did not know and reintroduced to those of us who were aware and should have been aware that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave to us a half century ago, a program to end poverty and want, a program for independence and freedom, justice, and equality. This coming Saturday, which will be the 25th of August, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will resume the series, The Time and What Must Be Done. And so the premiere episode of his next segment, which will be part 33, will premiere on Saturday at 6 Central, 7 Eastern. I am so happy, brothers and sisters, to be where I am right now. I literally just pulled in front of the hotel in St. Louis, Missouri, where I am going to be participating in the Nation of Islam Singles Retreat this weekend, and there'll be more about that shortly. But another major event that is taking place this weekend, and we are so blessed to have people right there on location. But this is the anniversary of the 1963 historic March on Washington, where Dr. Martin Luther King delivered his legendary message, really, which most people only have heard a few snippets from, but which was an incredibly powerful message. The 50th anniversary of the March on Washington is being commemorated this weekend, and so there are literally thousands of people in Washington, D.C., and I can't think of a better person to be able to extract the most important aspects of this event than my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam. Wa alaikum salam.
Good to hear your voice, and thank you for being on. This has been a rough day, and we thank Allah for technology, because I'm in St. Louis, Brother Terrence is in Washington, D.C. We are able to communicate with one another and communicate with you, the listeners and participants in Elevated Places. So, Brother Terrence, let us get some insight from you as to what is happening there in the nation's capital.
Yes, ma'am. So before we go right into the nation's capital, I want to say that we're thankful to Almighty God that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know, it's an interesting thing that he does not stop. He does not stop. So I'm so happy to know that just shortly this Saturday, the time and what must be done will be back on with his voice and his face. But I encourage and stress to everybody that you hear this one. You do not want to miss, and you don't want to, you want to go back and hear all of them, but you do not want to miss this Saturday on NOI.org, the time, and hear the time and what must be done. Seriously, the minister is going to give so much. And speaking of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, tomorrow, for those, you know, love that great city of New York, New York, he will be in Harlem, New York, at a janazah ceremony. That's, for those that may not know what a janazah is, it's basically a funeral. And I was told, and I'm not, this actual fact, there's one of, I think, the secretaries that may have worked with him prior to 75. But either way, he will be in New York, in Harlem, New York, tomorrow for that janazah. And I say that because the minister is back on the grind. He's back working. And we want you to know that he's also getting ready for Tuskegee. So those that don't know, the 18th anniversary of the Million Man March will be in Tuskegee, Alabama, October the 20th. He's going to have a free event and a lecture given in the city of Tuskegee outside, outdoors, along with their National Student Conference, October the 19th. And you can learn more about that in the final call, but it'll be a national conference of student leaders, October the 19th on the campus of Tuskegee. And as we're talking about anniversaries, also September 7th, our brother Malik Zul Shabazz is headlining and convening the 15th anniversary of the Million Youth March, also in Harlem, New York. So there's a lot of commemoration coming up. As you said, you know, we are here in Washington, D.C. We have been in many meetings talking about it. Press is here. I actually was on NPR today talking about the March on Washington. All of the people are coming in town. We did some programs with the sisters that was on our show last week with Black Women for Positive Change. We spoke to some young people. Dr. Ben Chavis and our brother Jasiri Epps was on a panel today talking about hip-hop, talking about violence, the mother of Lynn Bias, the athlete that died. She spoke and she talked how she lost Lynn Bias, but she said a couple of years after that she lost her son to violence. She's here speaking. The organization Black Youth Vote have a lot of young people here discussing issues and doing things. Our sister Melanie Campbell, the National Black Civic Participation, they're also here. So a lot of people are coming in town. But one of the major things that's going on while people are here is a mass demonstration on tomorrow led by young people. It will be tomorrow, the organization called ALEC. ALEC is the American Legislative Exchange Council, and they're behind the Stand Your Ground law. They're behind voter ID and numerous laws that that limit our freedoms and threaten our future and hurt our communities. So the young people are organized, and they're going to gather tomorrow at 12 p.m. at the Crystal City Metro Center, and they're going to actually march 10 blocks down to the ALEC office. You know, you can hashtag WeGotNets or hashtag YouthMOW. So they're going to be marching tomorrow. So there's a lot of activities that's going on. We also have the Dean Intensive Academy going on with our Islamic scholars. Imam Siraj will be here. Our brother Imam Sultan will be here. Our brother from Gainesville, brother Malik, Abdul Malik, will be here for the Dean Intensive Academy in Alexandria, the Sheraton. They're going to be doing, so it's a lot of stuff going on. But I will say, with no better time, the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, when he talked about separation and secession, as we're talking about the 50th year anniversary of the March on Washington, jobs and justice, reclaiming the dream. But we know that Martin Luther King lived 5 more years and saw that maybe not be the reality at this time. And some interesting things are going on during the March on Washington. A lot of information is coming out about what really happened during the March on Washington, why Martin Luther King chose that speech, who was told not to use their speech. And someone even spoke on the radio today that they're releasing a book that the FBI and the government had control of over the microphones during the March on Washington. So if any of the leaders got too radical, that they can cut the microphone and that they can play music and the crowd will not even know what was going on. And as we look at the march today, what corporate money is backing it and who's going to speak and who's allowed to speak. So there's a lot of interesting things that's going on, and that's why I say listen to the minister, the time of what must be done. So as the young people are organizing now, they are saying they are the next, you know, they're up next. They're not waiting for the next 50 years. They're planning now to get in a position to do what must be done, so we will not be here 50 years later asking and looking for the same thing.
Absolutely. And of course, as I noted earlier, the opening couldn't be more appropriate. The words that were lifted from the economic blueprint message. And that is a perfect segue into an announcement that I have. And beginning our discussion tonight, of course, I had the privilege of launching a broadcast radio version of the Elevated Places, which is
yes.
Now being aired on the legendary Chicago radio station, premier black talk radio station in the country, WVON, 1690 AM. That is the same radio station that carried Minister Farrakhan's Respect for Life series live in the 1980s, which had a powerful impact on the nation's ability to grow. As Minister Farrakhan embarked upon the rebuilding of the Nation of Islam. Before we had the National Center, Mosque Mariam, that was the Nation of Islam headquarters, the Final Call newspaper building. And so this station, which played a pivotal role in the civil rights struggle, in the election of Mayor Harold Washington, all the way through to President Barack Obama, continues to be a center and core platform for the exchange of black discussion and ideas. So it's wonderful to be a part of that. And I will be hosting the one-hour show entitled Elevated Places. It will air 4 p.m. Central, 5 Eastern every Sunday. You can get it live. It doesn't matter where you are, WVON.com. Or you can, better than that, download the iHeart app, iHeart, I-H-E-A-R-T, app on your smartphone or your pad and tablet and listen there. And the sound, the audio through that means is incredible. This Sunday, we're going to be interviewing Brother David Banner, who played the role of the eldest son of Cecil Gaines, the butler, the character that Forrest Whitaker played in The Butler, which is based upon the life and experience of Eugene Allen, a black man who served in the White House under 8 presidents. That is a very powerful story, and David Banner will be on with us on Sunday to discuss his role as the eldest son, who had a very profound experience in the civil rights struggle himself. His father was the son of a sharecropper, and this film opens in the year 1926 when Jim Crow was at its height, when most of our people in the South are living a life that in no way is different than it had been during slavery. Very, very powerful motion picture, which I want to go into a little bit, Brother Terrence, today, in line with what the minister just lifted and what you just shared with us about the importance and the presence of the youth. Due to the fact that our youth have always been the catalyst for change. This is something that we often forget. And today, when we are into this us and them modem, and oftentimes refer to our young people as they, in a somewhat hostile posture, hear a lot of reference to they don't know anything, they don't understand anything, they are savage in their behavior. Well, our children did not fall out of the sky. Who is responsible for the disconnect between generations in the black community? And why are we the only community that is experiencing the type of complete disconnect that we are? We have to take a large portion of the responsibility for the fact that the youth today are raising questions about whether or not our history in this country even took place. Lee Daniels, who directed The Butler, said he was stunned when his children, watching the screening with him, turned to him and said, "Did this really happen?" My husband, who's in the Chicago public school system, was talking with one of his colleagues who teaches history in high school, and she said her class, somebody asked her, "How do we know it's true that we were ever slaves?" And so we are facing a real problem. We run into young people who never heard, believe it or not, of Minister Louis Farrakhan, who are not familiar with the Million Man March. Now, how is that possible? Well, not only is it possible, it is a crisis that exists. And so we need to really understand the urgency of overcoming that abyss between the previous generations and the present generation, because the young people aren't going to survive without us, and we are not going to leave anything here without them. And so this is something that we have to overcome, Brother Terrence.
And, you know, one of the things I want to lift up, Sister Ava, is that you did mention this whole issue about young people, and it's amazing that you said that all these really negative things about young people and what they're not doing, what they are doing, that very statement was lifted up today at the church, at the Metropolitan AME Church. And, you know, I think Jasiriyeth about Dr. Ben, you know, made a comment of one of the sisters, she doesn't like hip-hop and how it is. But, you know, they made a quick announcement that there is a discussion that has to be discussed about what's going on with our youth. But don't disconnect your youth from the tree that produced it or the society or the parents that produced these youth. So you can't separate yourself as though they're not a product of something. So if you don't like the product, don't blame the product. Look at what produced the particular product that you're seeing today. And also the generation that they do see today is a generation, as Dr. Ben Chavis said, be careful what you pray for, because they wanted a fearless generation to come up. They wanted one that did not want this type of world, this system. So our young people rebel against this system. Our young people are fearless, but the enemy has come in and manipulated that strength and that power and that fearlessness. So that's why the number one, well, not the number, but one of the fears of the enemy is those people that have the ability to mobilize and utilize the young people because of their energy and their creativity and their power that they have. And so NPR, as I said, came to me and some young people to talk about what are the young people saying about the 50th anniversary. Then I got another call from a people from out of Boston radio station, what are the young people saying about the 50th anniversary? So a lot of people want to hear the commentary from the young, and not only are we doing nonviolent action training this weekend, but now, as I said, the March on Alec is not just rhetoric, what they're actually moving on an institution that is fighting against young people's rights that they may not have been born to fight for their voting rights, but they are here now, and there's organizations just trying to take the rights that they have already. So it's interesting when you bring that up, and it's very interesting that a lot of young people do not know their history and do not know. Even I was in Alex Haley's farm down in Tennessee near Knoxville, and a young brother we had from Nashville said, we want to learn more about this person, Alex Haley. And it was on the Alex Haley farm in the house that Alex Haley grew up, but they didn't have any concept who Alex Haley was, the author of Roots. So there is an intentional disconnect in our educational system, as Minister Farrakhan gives the Study Guide 21, the new educational paradigm, where the flicker of light in this educational system is going and has gone out.
Well, you know.
Yes, sir. Let me just acknowledge and welcome our beloved brother, Dr. Rizzi Muhammad. Thank you, Dr. Rizzi. Go right ahead.
Well, you know, in the beginning was the Word. And it's through the Word and communications by which the human being is moved. You know, animals are moved just by, you know, instinct. But human beings have to be taught. And what they have done is control all avenues by which information can get into our young people's heads. And we, older people, we decided not to teach them about the history because we didn't want them to be angry with the white people they had to go to school with. And then the system, if you look at what's on TV, there's nothing on TV that will let you know anything of value, unless you just look at the History Channel all the time, and that'd be lying sometimes. But the rest of the stuff is just a bunch of garbage. Then when they came out with hip-hop, which really was teaching some positive history to our people, they co-opted that and turned it into gangster rap. So when you're dealing with Satan, you know, what black folks fail to understand is that they're dealing with Satan, and they fail to believe that they are, in fact, the real chosen of God. Therefore, they don't understand that this man, all his money and power, will be used to keep us ignorant to the knowledge of ourselves. We just can't believe that they would spend that much time to make sure that we don't know ourselves and don't know our leaders and don't know our history. We just hard to believe that because we don't believe who we are and don't believe who they are. But those of us who know who they are and who we are, we understand it, and therefore we know we have to develop another platform by which we can get to our people. This Elevated Places tonight and then now on WVON, we got to make sure that Minister Ava and people like her get into the heads and minds of our people so that we can begin to transform them from this idiot that this system has made.
And Dr. Ridley, I just want to jump right back in with Dr. Ridley. It's amazing that you and Dr. Ava chimed in to a place that y'all were not at. Y'all not in D.C., but y'all are talking exactly about what we talked about today. Reverend Lennox Yearwood talked this morning about the power of spoken word, and we had young people do some spoken word pieces. And as you said, John 1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what words are being used for our young people and given to our young people to edify them? And I say that because there's been this big discussion in every major blog or hip-hop news outlet talking about this new up-and-coming or, you know, now major MC called Kendrick Lamar. And one of the things that, as you say, the history of hip-hop is 40 years old. You know, it turned 40 years old this year. And hip-hop grew on paying attention to the lyrical skills of an MC. You had to have lyrical content. You had to have substance in what you're saying. And we know that that industry or that art has been co-opted, just as our leaders have speech writers and they're not really speaking from their heart and the passion of the people. But Kendrick Lamar did a particular verse on somebody else's song, and he overshadowed these two big rap artists, Big Sean and Jay Electronica, and that was like the biggest talk of the town. But what it did, he came out and used his lyrical wit and skills that made people go back and look at his lyrical content, what words did he use and what did he say, and that sparked so much debate, that sparked so much controversy, and it elevated a bigger conversation. And I say that as we are having in the discussion in Elevated Places, we need somebody to come into the midst of things where there is no conversation, where there is no good lyrical context, and put some energy back in that. So if there's no knowledge of self in history, we got to find someone, and that person now, the greatest MC, master of ceremony, or microphone controller is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because
right.
He is the freestyler, as we saw back in January where he did the town hall in Chicago at the final call. He said, I don't want to know what the questions
that's
are.
Right.
You know, I just want you to read off the questions and I will give you a response. And that's one of the things in the hip-hop community do, that they will throw out a word, they'll throw out a sign, they'll throw out a symbol, and you have to freestyle, you have to do a rhyme right off the
right.
top of your dome about what that person just did. And that's what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan does every time he gets to a podium. He doesn't need any notes. He freestyles, but his words are straight from God himself, and they move the people as a true MC moves the crowd. Minister Farrakhan moves the people into a direction of nation building and doing for self.
And on top of, see, there's two things we got to do. Well, one, we got to find ways to get the minister out there more in terms of his words. And then we have to find ways to get his words into the hands of the rappers so that they can use his words and then put their own beats and beats to it and rhyme to it to project it the way hip-hop started. Because you remember in the beginning of hip-hop, they even had the minister speaking, and they even had Dr. Khaled speaking, part of their lecture being a part of the music. So
right.
This is what we have to get back to, so you can get to as many points of entry into as many people, because the enemy feels comfortable now because the final call is not that big. We are not doing the big events in our cities, so we're not out there, and they feel very comfortable that we are not getting to the people. However, with the time and what must be done, and the Twitter army, and the Facebook brigade, the air troops, are getting this out, and the enemy is upset. We just got to keep it going. I'm so proud of the young people in the nation of getting behind Brother Jesse and this Twitter army and really pumping the minister out there.
Well, one of the things I do want to say, just for our callers, you are tuned in to Elevated Places, and the call-in number is 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091. 5091. You are listening to Elevated Places with your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad. She, as she said, just literally touched down in the city of St. Louis for the Nation of Islam singles retreat. So we're giving her a moment to get settled and get settled in. We're going to go to our phones because we do have callers already queued up. But I just wanted to add what Dr. Rizzo just pointed out on Sister Ava's monumental host and show on WBON this past Sunday. She had one of the guests on there, including our brother Ashad, assistant editor of The Final Call. They had a sister named Nairobi Saylah. And if you see her, one of her videos, Nairobi Saylah has the minister at the beginning of her video from that town hall, and she has him speaking. So she's one of those new artists that do have the minister in her video speaking consciousness, and she also speaks consciousness. But we have our first caller. I don't have the name, but it's coming from an area code 334. Welcome to Elevated Places, caller.
And I'm on as
Call
well.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you all. This is a great, great conversation. I've been listening on mute while I moved about. Finally got into the room.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
but is the caller there from 334?
Is the mic open for the caller?
Yeah, that's what we're trying to get open. And if not, I think we...
Well, in the interim, while we're waiting for the caller to come on, I just wanted to say in conjunction with both of you, you really said it for me, Brother Terrence, that we actually have a number of young people across the nation, many of whom are registered in the Nation of Islam and many not, who already have fallen in love with the minister, and having listened to him, he has touched their inner creative self. They know this is the one they've been looking for, and so it is important that just as we get the minister's words into them, once we do that, we have an obligation to provide a platform for them.
That's right.
And not put them in a position where they have to choose between isolation and selling out, between getting a job somewhere to facilitate the world of the enemy and becoming independent. And we owe it to them to get up and move quicker than we have been moving toward the development of our own community, the minister's words, and that opening excerpt. You know, whether we like it or not, it is time for us to go for self.
That's right. One
of the things that makes The Butler such a powerful film is that it displays the struggle between generations of black people, father and son who love one another profoundly, but because they grew up in different times, have vastly different responses to racism. And the key is this. What makes us different from every other people is we're the only ones that have to contend with that. You know, when people say, well, why haven't black folks, we say it more than anybody, why are we incapable, it seems, of coming together? Well, we're the only people where there is a relentless effort to keep us divided. And
right.
Where, as the slave master and his children, as their face changes and their methodology to suppress us changes, then our response has to change. And that is what is bringing about that so-called generation gap. The Eugene Allen character that Forrest Whitaker plays in The Butler grew up on a cotton farm that was no different than slavery. He watched his mother raped, his father shot in the head. Here's a white man who openly takes his mother out of the field and rapes her literally yards away from the rest of the slaves. And when his father stands up against this white man, and the last thing he said to his son, who grew up to be this character, the butler, the last thing he said was, don't talk back or take on this white man. This is their world. They will kill you. And you saw within seconds why he said that, because he knew he was about to die just for making eye contact and displaying to his wife's rapist his anger and hatred over it. And he got a bullet through between his eyes for it. You know, and so this is the world that the butler grew up in the 1920s, walking down the street and seeing two black men hung dead, both of them together, from a lamp pole. Well, that dictates a certain type of response if you are to survive. And he learned how to survive with a position of servitude. Domestics who would say to each other, you know, we have two faces. Your life was a duality. There's the face, he said, that you have among your own people and the face you have to put on in the world of white people. And he put that face on effectively enough to purchase a home and for his wife to be able to stay at home with their sons. And he said, my wife had one job, and that was to rear our sons. And he was able to put his son in college. But by the time his son came of age, you now had a generation that wasn't as able and willing to take that subservient position to that extent. And his son left Washington, D.C., where they lived, and went down to Fisk University and became active in the sit-ins, the student sit-ins. To his father, his behavior was criminal. And he told his son when he had to go down to Tennessee and get him out of jail, he said, I didn't send you here for this. I sent you here to get an education. And his son said, what is the point, Dad, of me getting an education if I can't sit down at a lunch counter? And you saw the pain and the suffering as they tried to comprehend each other's position. But what the youth of today, we owe them, is to make sure they are aware, not aware, that they process in the depths of their being that it was not some old fogies that sat at those lunch counters. It was 17, 18, 19-year-old college students, black college students, that sat at counters because they were not going to tolerate those signs, white and colored, any longer. And they got their heads bashed in. They got hot coffee thrown in their face. They got people spitting directly in their face. So that somebody today who's 15, so my daughters can walk around with smartphones, and they cannot be allowed to be void of an understanding as to why. They are not living the lives they live because of the beneficence of white people. They are living like that because of young people, which included Martin Luther King, who was 26, when he took the point in the struggle. Minister Louis Farrakhan came in the Nation of Islam at 22 years old.
Right.
You know, and so we cannot allow that reality to be lost on any of us at any age, that it is the energy. All of us came in the nation in our 20s or younger.
That's right.
It's very rare that somebody 40 years old stands up at one of our meetings and says, I accept Islam.
That's right.
You know, it's the young people.
That's right. But, you know, this history.
That, now, from time to time, an elder person gets an epiphany.
Right.
But also, you know, you don't get 30 years old and smoke a cigarette for the first time.
Right.
And that's why the enemy goes after the babies.
That's right.
You know, you take a puff on that cigarette when you're 12, 11, nowadays 7. Because if you make it to 30, you're not going to do it by then.
That's right.
But anyway, that's, you know, I'm fired up just listening to the two of you.
Well, you know, and on that history thing, you know, we had two directions to go in the 60s. And
yes,
right now, our people, young people today don't know about those two directions.
Yes,
all
sir.
They see is the result of this one direction that the government of the United States decided to accept. And
yes,
that
sir.
Was integration. Now,
yes, sir.
The other part about separation doing for self, they don't know anything about what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did, the farmlands, the stores, what the Minister Farrakhan did in New York City. They don't even know anything about the Million Man March. So they don't see the other route. And now, even though they have smartphones, if someone doesn't teach them the history, they won't know that we had more jobs under segregation than we do now under integration. Now,
that's
in the big cities,
right.
You got 40-50% of the black males unemployed. Under segregation, we had jobs. We had our own businesses. Motown, Detroit.
Well, that's what I'm going to bring up. We, not just jobs. We own businesses, and in fact, we had industries. The Negro Baseball League was an industry.
That's right.
That's right. And so,
and as you said, they don't know that. Well, I would say they don't know either road.
Hey, okay.
That's the point. And don't really comprehend that, which you're raising such an excellent point, they don't comprehend that the U.S. government knew that if something wasn't done, and that's another powerful narrative that's given us in this movie, The Butler, you get to go inside the Oval Office with Eisenhower dealing with Little Rock, Kennedy, LBJ, you see, dealing with how to handle what was going on in the South. The willingness of black people to be set upon by animals, German shepherds, to be shot, to be beat with sticks, to have fire hose sprayed on them, which feels like 8 million needles penetrating your skin, extremely painful, to see that there was going to be no turning around, and that if they allowed this, what our people don't know is your point now, Dr. Rizzi, see, they knew that this extreme, horrific behavior on the part of Southern whites was going to result in black people going into the Nation of Islam in droves.
That's right.
You know, they talked about, now they didn't show them on the screen talking about the nation. The nation naturally was not going to be portrayed in that film. I don't want to, you know, denigrate anybody, but that's just the reality of the presence of certain people made you to know that we weren't going to be around, even though there was one minor reference, but the point is, you see Nixon talking about the Black Panthers and Black Power and saying, you know, maybe we should counter Black Power with Black entrepreneurship.
Mm.
And one of his aides said, but what about these Panthers? He said, oh, don't worry about them. I gave Hoover the green light to take them out.
Mm. Come on.
And then shortly after, you see the announcement on the screen of the two young brothers, Fred Hampton.
Fred Hampton.
And
right.
the other young brother who were murdered in the Dawn in Chicago. And the killings,
right.
the murders of Black Panthers, again, youth, 21 years old. But where did, as you're pointing out, Dr. Ridge, where did Black Power come from? See?
Come on.
Who called us Black?
Come on.
Who was the first leader to call us Black? Even the Honorable Marcus Garvey did not use the term Black.
That's right. Come on.
But even if our children are exposed at least to the sit-ins and get a recognition that this is another thing that at 18 you can be doing other than playing a video game.
Right.
Or texting the same person over and over, calling each other the B word. You're sitting around trying to figure out how to grab somebody's iPad or purse. Because nobody has put in front of you the possibility of financial freedom.
Come on.
Other than through selling drugs or selling women. You know, and blocking you from hearing Minister Farrakhan. You know, he's that same phone that you're using to look at filth on it, and filth, you can also go to NOI.org/time. All it is somebody alerting them to it. You know, you want some power. You want women to like you. You want to be in control. Then let all men and boys join the SOI.
Go ahead.
That's the only real group of independent Black men that exists on the globe is the FOI.
That's right.
There's
so
no
we will
other.
Not bow.
Will not bow. There's no other organization of Black men that is really self-sufficient and independent. Any one of them, when you get up to the top, there's some white people at the top.
That's right.
You come over to the National Center on Stony Island in Chicago. I don't care how deep you go in the nation, you're not going to find nothing but Black folks.
That's right.
So
and at the root of it is a Black God who is self-created. You know, so this is what our children want. I love what Brother Nuri said on this show one time. He said, our youth don't want to be right. They want to be grown. So let's grow them up.
That's right.
Let's give them some responsibility to build a nation.
Well, I think that some of our young people are on their way. I'm really impressed with the young people down in Houston. I see they are on their way, and I notice pockets of them all across the country. And this meeting that's being called at Tuskegee and that youth conference is going to be powerful to bring those heads together, get that synergy going, get them contacts going, the relationships going, and their plans going so they can go ahead on and fashion their own future and probably and hopefully have a spot for some of the old folks in it. We didn't do it for them. I think they're ready to do it for themselves.
Yes, sir.
Well, once again, you are tuned in to the powerful Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. You just heard from our Elevated contributor, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. And we want to go right into some of our callers. We got a bunch of callers lined up, and I have some numbers. We got a caller from area code starting with area code 661. Welcome to Elevated Places. Caller, you on the air? Area code 661.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Ah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
Yes, sir. The the most dishonorable Willie Lynch said to pit the young against the old. So he who there's a universal law in the universe. He who stops learning is old. He who keeps learning is young. In that awareness, there's nobody on the planet younger than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
That's right.
He has gone to colleges to speak to the students one time. His picture was in the final call with the students. The man looked younger than the students.
Go ahead.
Come on.
You see? So we have to go back to the original language and take the young people out of it. And that you're either a child, adult. You're either a child, adult, or an elder. We have to go back to that language. Now, God always gives nuggets of wisdom from tragedy. The lessons from the lynching of Trayvon Martin is, it's okay anytime, anywhere, anybody can lynch a black baby. The law, the judge, and the jury will help you and free you. Another great lesson God teaches, George Zimmerman is a Christian. If you call yourself a Christian, that means you love George Zimmerman and want to be his brother. If we go to the sacred text, Message to the Black Man, chapter 7, verse 5, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, anyone blind to the reality of God serves the devil. If we go to chapter 8, verse 8, Allah says, accept Islam or be destroyed from the face of the earth. We must return to our people and God. The Honorable Elijah had to say all the time, brother, God said he's going to get you or kill you. A great law of the universe says that whatever you tolerate, you become. So after white folks announced the lynching of Trayvon Martin was okay, 20 million people at least should have signed up with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. They should have said, Farrakhan, you're the only one that's warned us that this would happen. You're the only man that preached stop the killing. You're the only man that said that tape and a lecture series on black youth in peril. You're the only man that said black youth was toxic waste marked for death. The only one and real protest God will accept is signing up and helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He's the only man with a plan, program, procedure, and platform to deal with white supremacy.
I love what you are saying. I would say to you, though, that that
yes,
is
ma'am.
Happening. That is happening.
Yes, ma'am.
Exactly,
yes, ma'am.
Right. Trayvon's lynching, and I defined it as that very early in this process, because a lot of us don't understand what a lynching is. We think it's a hanging. A hanging is just a means, one of the methods of lynching.
That's
but
right.
Lynching is the violent, by definition, violent punishment, assault or execution of a person without due process of law. But as we know, when history is not learned, it's doomed to repeat itself. Trayvon wasn't the first lynching of a young black man in America.
That's right.
It was the latest at that time. There have been more since him.
That's right.
Right.
It was the latest, but Trayvon had to lose his life because Allah had to show us in our face to wake us up out of our hypnosis. In the wake of the election of President Obama, this hypnosis that Negro leadership facilitated that the white man put us in, this idea of this so-called post-racial America, there is no such thing. The only time America will become post-racial is when it no longer exists at all. Because its entire being draws life from white superiority.
That's right.
It is racial. Right. Its essence is race. That's like saying we could live without a heartbeat. America cannot live without racism. You know, but a young man had to lose his life and several more, and it's continuing to go on until we get to that point. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, Allah will make you separate. And so it is happening in this sense, because people will look back and see more clearly than we're seeing the profound, what the Christians call miracle, in this murderous act drawing the president out. See, because for the first time, you know, going back to this gap, there's also a class issue within the black community that is manufactured by the slave master, the so-called educated class. Now, many of us, Dr. Rizzi and Brother Terrence and I included, we have our college degrees. And we are all blessed to have a certain type of upbringing and orientation and genes that made us to be able to get the white man's paper and still see the light. But most of our people, once they go through that system, they're gone.
That's right.
And they are made to think they are the white man. They're one of them. And they are told by white people, you're not like the rest of them.
Come on.
Tell them that openly.
That's right.
And so you never heard, like you heard in the wake of the Zimmerman verdict, to hear Eric Holder, because Eric Holder really forced the president. You can't leave your attorney general hanging, because Eric Holder spoke out as a black man and said, I have been through this. So you weren't hearing that before Trayvon. The so-called educated middle class, upper class blacks, they would go into amnesia and act as though this did not happen to them, when they know perfectly well it happens to them every day.
That's right.
All right.
So now the attorney general comes out, the president comes out and repeats his statement. If I had a son, he would look like Trayvon. Then he took it further. He said, let me put it like this. 35 years ago, I would have been Trayvon. Oh, my God. White people had a stroke. And say anything but that. Don't. That was it. But that's what you're saying, beloved, that to me will be written in history as the turning point. Yeah, you still got people out here, you know, saying we got to get the jobs, but they're not feeling it like they were before that verdict.
That's right.
And I know a lot of black people were absolutely done after that.
Right.
I know people.
Friends calling me. Mhm.
I know people who said they're not going back to Florida, never.
That's right.
Shoot him while he's standing. No, that's not the word. Stand your ground.
Yeah.
You know, even they changed to stand your ground. So I ain't going back. He's a doctor, a medical doctor. So I ain't going back never. So this spirit, I see, you know, my brother would like for us to jump immediately and join up with the minister, which, you know, we should do. But things take time. And it's working its way. This worm, this virus, is working its way through the minds of the black community.
That's right.
And it soon will take over.
It will. And the beautiful thing is, it's bearing witness to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's predictive power and his status as the right hand of God, and being able to say that 50 years ago, that this day would come.
Right.
You know, and it's here. Because now, as we heard from the excerpt in the beginning, And we know what we're living. Look, we can't survive much longer in this environment. We are being cut out at every turn.
Hey.
We are being trampled on.
Right.
And it's just a matter of time before we won't even be able to afford to breathe. You know, so and not only that, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, the white man can't save his own world, and his world is falling down. And that's why we're suffering, because we wouldn't get out when we were told to.
That's right. I'm
so
living
yeah,
in the area.
It's falling on our head.
I'm living in an area where the largest employer is the hospital.
Mm.
Not a manufacturing plant.
Come
that's
on.
That's a hospital. And this
hospital.
Has happened all across America. That people are dying in droves, where it is the biggest business is trying to keep them alive and bury them, because we are suffering from a death perpetrated on the whole country, and we still up here in it, eating along with these people, dying with them. I guess because this is whites dying, it's okay for us to die too. But I don't go for that. I think we need to pull out.
Yep. So
I'm with you. I'm not feeling that. Because they're going down, I should too.
But Master,
so, I'm ready to get on the
So we want to thank our caller for calling in. We want to keep it moving because our time.
Yes,
so
sorry.
We need more than an hour and a half. But we do have. Thank you, caller. We have Brother Lewis that has a comment or a question. Welcome to Elevated
yes.
Places, Brother Lewis.
Yes, sir. May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Sir, assalamu alaikum. How y'all doing? Good to hear from y'all, boy. This show is on fire tonight.
I see.
I want to thank all of y'all, and in particular, Sister Ava. We're really, really happy that you're on WVON, and I was listening to Dr. Ridgely earlier talk about the platform, and I hope that all of the callers who listen to this show will text and email and Facebook and send out that you're on WVON, because really we need more talk, intelligent talk, about why we need separation. Now, this weekend they're having the 50th anniversary march in D.C., and they disinvited Donnie McClurk, because Donnie McClurk, could you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I can.
They disinvited him because he said that God delivered him from the sin of homosexuality. And this man was raped when he was 8 years old by his uncle and also his uncle's son continuously. And God delivered him from that confusion. Well, the militant homosexual assault, including the mayor of D.C., have all banned him. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the preeminent leader for Black people today, was not invited to that march. And Target and Walmart are the sponsors, major sponsors of this march. You see, we start talking about the time and what must be done. This is not the time to be integrated. In 1959, when Mike Wallace got together with all of the big civil rights iconic leaders at that time and went around and they said they wanted to stop the Black Muslims and Black Power and Black Nationalists, they are the ones who work night and day to destroy our movement. So we want separation. And we have to be definitive about that. I understand that Henry Louis Gates is going to be up there honoring Bayard Rustin. But Bayard Rustin, after the march in 63, it was him and A. Philip Rudolph that were on the cover of Life magazine, because they are and Bayard Rustin was more of a homosexual than he was a Black man. He didn't have a Black agenda. So we don't want to integrate these agendas. This is really important. And what they're trying to do now is really co-opt our movement, get our young people to have more of a homosexual agenda than a Black agenda. So we need platforms to where we can get our ideas out. The only way that we can really do that, I think, or an effective way is when you see people like you and Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence We should all be behind y'all pushing our ideas to the forefront. So I just thank y'all this show and hope we keep pushing our black agenda, nation agenda. Thank y'all.
Thank you, Brother Lewis. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother
Lewis. And Dr. Ava, I just want to respond to this real quick and real fast because we do have more callers, but it's a particular thing that I wanted to bring out about what he just said. Number one, this March, you know, is on the 24th, but we do have a lot of people coming. And some in the conversation that I've had today, as it relates to this particular March, there's a couple of things. One, you know, Al Sharpton, you know, and Martin Luther King III are doing this particular march. But do you know that on next Wednesday, the actual day of the march, who's doing the march? They're calling it, well, some people are calling it President Obama March. President Obama is actually speaking on that same day from the Lincoln Memorial on the 28th, the actual day, along with Bill Clinton, and I think they said Jimmy Carter. So when you talk about whose agenda, they're doing it on the actual day. They just went gangster, so y'all have y'all little kitty march. But we're going to do it during the week, and we're going to do it on a Wednesday. And the other most important issue that he just brought up about the homosexuality, I was in a meeting today where there was a discussion with just black men in one of these panel discussions, and there was a female photographer in there. And I jokingly went up to her and I said, you know you can take your shot. Because, you know, you're taking shots for the conference, but you're going to have to leave us out of here because the brothers need to have that discussion. And she laughed and joked, and she walked out. And there was no more seemingly women in the room. Next thing I heard, I looked over, and I saw this person speaking. And I was like, that brother got a high-pitched voice. And then I looked again. I said, you know, the brother got a little weight on him. But then I looked again. Brother had some earrings at the top of his ear. Then I looked again, got jewelry on both wrists. Then I looked again, he's not just heavy, he got some chest to him. And then I realized that there was a sister who felt comfortable not leaving the men's section because she identified herself as a black male.
Mm.
So when he talked about this agenda is being put on across the board. When you hear people speak, you know, we fight against racism, against sexism. Again, we don't matter about class or male or female or even gender or sexual orientation. Sexual orientation is part of the racial or civil rights movement now, and they are powerful in this movement. So it's very clear that we have to be separated because that is part of this new agenda, if you listen carefully to a lot of the language that's been put out there.
Well, I'd like to add that. I was involved with some of the independent political network and before 9/11, and I was on the board. And at the end of every conference, they want to put into the platform equating gay rights with civil rights. So
right.
This is one of the why white folks, progressives, want to help the black folks is they're trying to push this homosexual agenda, and now it is infiltrated into the black movement because a lot of our black men and women were turned while in prison, and now they're back on the street turning others. So there is an insidious game being played to equate gay rights with civil rights, with the black person's experience.
And it actually has surpassed the civil rights or struggle, because what happens with us is, again, because this is a white superiority-based nation, and most of these homosexuals are white people, they're still white. You know, just because somebody's homosexual doesn't make them suddenly have an epiphany with regard to black folks as though there was never a homosexual slave master. But what has happened now is when it comes to the homosexual issue, it is handled in a very intense, aggressive way. When it comes to issues of racism, It is always diluted. It is always challenged.
Right.
Even with Oprah and the purse, the $38,000 purse, she was trying to buy in Switzerland, and the white woman told her, it's too expensive for you. And when she reported that as a racist incident, she had to moonwalk on it. She got so much pushback from
right.
white people, because whenever we claim injury, they always say, oh, she claimed or she alleged. But the clerk had a different version. Now, you don't get that when it's about so-called gay rights or homosexuality. You know, the challenge is to the rest of us, are you with this, or are you somebody that wants to be condemned to hell? Because this is what's going to dominate the planet from now on. You know, you can take it or let it alone. Very aggressive with it. And there's a law, I forgot which state it passed in, but there was a law that was passed prohibiting therapists, teachers, religious leaders, et cetera, any minor, anyone underage who comes to you as an adult seeking your aid or assistance in helping them overcome homosexuality, it is against the law for you to do that. So in other words, if somebody 15 came to you and said, as a teacher or a guidance counselor or a psychologist or their pastor, you know what, I'm gay, I'm living the life as a gay, but I don't want to be that. I don't believe that's God's will. I need help. You can't do it.
Hmm.
It's against the law.
Sounds like Solomon and Gomorrah to me.
Well, that's exactly what it is. And if we don't understand the urgency of distancing ourselves, not fighting it, you can't fight it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he was asked about it, said, that's between them and Allah. That's for Allah to deal with.
That's right.
And we know how Allah deals with that.
So get far, far away.
You just said Sodom and Gomorrah. Everybody knows about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes, we do.
Okay. When he gets through with you, there's no sign that you ever existed.
Like Samuel Jackson said, you black folks need to get away from them white folks.
Jamie
right.
Foxx.
No.
Right.
No, I said that was Jamie Foxx. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
Jamie
Foxx.
And then when Samuel Jackson
tried to run, I'm sorry, that's right, that was Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, Sam Jackson tried to run, and he made him stay there.
So,
we
want to keep going. Want to grab you a couple of more calls, Dr. Ava. We got a call from Eric. Oh, someone calling from the DMV, calling from DC 202. Welcome to Elevated Places. Are you there?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, Brother Terrence and Dr. Ridgely, Brother Ridgely. Just wanted to let you know that I'm enjoying the program tonight, and I hope that we can continue to do this discussion, because just like Brother Terrence said on last week, I think, about going and studying about the Belgium blue cow, and sure enough, I went to the Internet, and it is amazing what is happening, and we don't know what food we're eating. And I think Dr. Ridgely is saying, too, because of all this with the hospitals, we are just being slaughtered, and we really don't know. So, again, we need to continue to go forward and work hard in order to let our young people know what is being dealt with them. So, again, thank you, and I'm having trouble hearing, but I just wanted to let you know we have to continue the fight. God continue blessing.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, there is some type of interference. You know what that is?
I don't know. I keep hearing that. I've been hearing that throughout the show.
No, I'm not sure at all. And hopefully we can get through it, because we're almost near the end. We want to take one more caller. A caller calling from area code 678. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam.
Yes. Peace, Sister Ava. Peace. Dr. Ridgely. Please, Brother Terrence, this is Seven Truth Allah.
Oh, yes, sir.
I was definitely going to speak about, I did get a chance to see the movie The Butler. And what I witnessed in the theater, mostly, the movie was decent to me, but what I'm witnessing in the theater is the scene where they were integrating the lunch counter, there were, I guess, teenagers or young adults that in the 20s and down that were in the theater that were absolutely stunned, floored, where they actually spoke out in the movie at those scenes, especially when the sister got the ketchup thrown on her. You heard it all through the theater. And when the young lady got spit in the face, you could have heard a roach pissing on cotton on there, and excuse me for the language of that, urinating on cotton. It was just, the movie theater was just stunned, and it was a mix of races. There was mostly black, but there was a few Caucasians in there. That's one of the things I wanted to speak on about the movie, and further listening about how they're absolutely stealing civil rights and turning it into this homosexual war. It's sickening, and it angers me to the point where I really can't even get my thoughts wrapped around that, you know. And then, the actual Walmart, I heard so much just evil going on with this company, and now they're funding this march, and it got the faces of Reverend Al Sharpton and, you know, Reverend King the Third, and including Joe Madison is really rallying around this year. And it's like, oh my, we can't, it's just, separation. That's all I can say. Separation. We got to get out of here. We really got to get out of here.
You're exactly right. And we have to start doing. We have to resist the draw or the attraction or the appeal of lengthening the evangelistic period of our history, because having been silenced for so long, we want to express. But we've been disconnected for so long from doing for self that we have to also experience the sense of gratification that we will gain from looking around in our environment and seeing what we produce for ourselves. The minister said there's nothing in the world that gives more satisfaction than bringing one's own idea into fruition. Nothing. The way we are all created, the most exciting thing we can do, we think it's food or sex or cars or clothes or travel or music. It's none of those things. They pale in comparison to the high that we will feel when what we think, what ideas we develop in our brain, we actually have the power to bring those into fruition. And that has been the agenda of white folks. And I love what you just gave, brother, that information to us, the who's who in the march, and reminding us that corporate America is running all of this. Walmart is the modern day Simon Legree. Walmart is the plantation today. The only thing that has changed now is technology. And so the look and feel of slavery is different. But it's the essential structure of it, the nature of it, the nature of the two people has not changed one bit.
and they're doing it again,
and,
1963.
Yeah, and they're going to continue. And you said it makes you feel sick to your stomach, all this homosexuality taking over. Well, the question becomes, what does it take for us to move? How much dissatisfaction? You know, there is a mathematical measure. You know, 100% dissatisfaction brings about 100% change. So the question is, are we dissatisfied enough to do something? That's the question. Even a community. Just start a residential community.
And Dr. Ava, I just wanted to jump in here because that's what we were talking about as relate to buying back Detroit. And that's some of the things that we will be talking about at the 18th anniversary of the Million Man March down in Tuskegee Nation Building. So
yes.
Please be October the 20th. But we want to also, on behalf of the Elevated Places, apologize for anyone that got cut off last week because the show just kept going and kept going. But we do have one last caller that we're going to let her ask a quick question, just a quick question, and we're going to go out and let Sister Ava close us out for Elevated Places. But we thank all of the callers, and we do apologize for any callers that we didn't get to. But we want to welcome Sister Alice to Elevated Places to ask a quick question before we are getting ready to go off the air. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Thank you, sir. Assalamu alaikum to the panel. I'll be very brief. I was listening to the opening comments regarding the movie The Butler, which I have not seen. However, my question is in regards to get the opinion and the take on the Harriet Tubman sex video that was allegedly put out by Russell Simmons last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it interesting the timing of this sex video clip with Harriet Tubman, who is one of our ancestors' heroine freedom fighters, and the movie The Butler coming out. We do have to look at the hidden hand that allowed Russell Simmons to put this out on YouTube, and it's still there. He has since made an apology after he came under fire. However, I would just like to get the panel's take on that, please.
Yes, ma'am. I love it. And, of course, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches there's no such thing as a coincidence.
Correct.
And with the time and what must be done taking place, the Zimmerman verdict, the upcoming anniversary this weekend, though we may see a lot of flaws in it, it's very terrifying to white folks. Anytime we gather for any reason other than if we're not getting high or doing something destructive. But, yes, to take the black woman and debase her, the character in this video is sort of an Aunt Jemima-type character. Harriet Tubman was a very thin, petite woman.
Right.
This woman is huge. She's obese. She's like the character that Hattie McDaniel played in Gone with the Wind.
Mm.
And Russell Simmons does not get a pass from me, as much as he's been around the minister.
More.
You know, as deeply involved as he's been in the spoken word industry, as old as he is, you know, he can't profess ignorance. You know, if we're not going to give Lil Wayne a pass, how do we give Russell Simmons one?
That's right.
You know, really what ultimately triggered the final stages of apartheid going down in South Africa was when black people started cleaning their own house out.
Mm.
Yeah, because first and foremost, there's got to be a separation in the house.
That's right.
And if you want to stay here and lick this white man's boots and his behind, go ahead. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad consistently refers to those that want to go. I'm not saying everybody's got to go. He needs to stay here if he's capable of doing that, and apparently he is. You know, to give an apology and say, if I offended anyone, you still don't see it. Yeah, you're only coming out with some half apology because it's the politically correct thing to do. You still don't feel anything was wrong with it. And as you pointed out, it's still there. You know, once you put something on that internet, it's there.
Yep.
You know, so somebody 13 sees that. They're not all doing all the analysis we're sitting here doing. All they see is a fat black woman having sex with a white man, deceiving him.
Well, you know, Harriet Tubman had a gun. Okay.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. If you enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new season.